This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
My name is Benji, or Benjamin Watt. I'm 22 years old, turning 23 in June, also getting married in June as well. I am a boxing judge, the youngest one in the world and the first gay one in New Zealand. I'm also the second person to be the BoxRec.com editor for BoxRec for New Zealand, and at the moment I'm the only one for New Zealand. So yeah.
So what drew you to boxing?
I've always liked boxing. I just never really spoke about it because it was more of a personal interest. And well, every time I mention boxing, people think it's like, oh, it's aggressive and very masculine and stuff like that. And like a lot of the gay community are like quite shunned upon stuff like that, like against sports and stuff like that. Apart from like the bear community, they're very into it. And like I got really hooked into it when when I first watched my first boxing fight with David Tua versus Lennox Lewis. Ever since then, like, it was kind of like I was an interest, but it wasn't like a passion. And when I saw Shane Cameron versus David Tua, that's when I got hooked. And ever since then, I've been quite passionate about it, and like seen all the shows and pay-per-views and stuff like that.
So what hooked you?
I don't know. It's just like one of those things that just created a spark out of nowhere and just like, no pun intended, slapped you in the face. And like, wow, I didn't know, like, this is really good. And like going to these like events is like quite thrilling, and like you get very excited quite easily and stuff like that. So yeah.
And so are you boxing yourself?
No. I can't box. I've played with the idea in my head about it, but I just thought to myself, like, no. Like last year I had like two concussions from like falling off the deck at my house and like being in car accident, and that put me off for 8 months last year. So, and if I had any more concussions, I'd probably get brain damage. So the idea of me boxing in the ring is not, I've played with the idea, but not anymore.
And you were saying that boxing and the kind of gay community aren't necessarily seen as kind of closely aligned, or the gay community kind of shuns it in some way. How is it actually within the boxing community towards, say, rainbow people?
Well, boxing is a very male-orientated, masculine, lots of testosterone-type sport. You don't really... The idea of it is just like they don't clash within each other, they don't cross paths. But every single boxing person that I've met and who know that I'm gay were like, yeah, don't care. I do a good job, that's all that counts. So they don't really have a problem with it, and which is good, because like in 2015 everyone's quite open-minded and stuff like that. I mean, like there's the occasional like tweet, because I'm on Twitter a lot, and I kind of have to be with my position. I'm on Twitter a lot, getting in contact with other boxers and stuff like that, and there's the occasional fans that get quite rowdy, you could say. But apart from that, there's not really much of a problem.
So like in other sports at the moment, say like in cricket where there is kind of, or in rugby league where there's kind of sledging and kind of homophobic remarks either by players or fans, I mean, do you find that in boxing?
Not as far as I'm aware of. There's probably like some talk like in the ring or maybe at the press conference, but I don't think they actually mean it. Like majority of the boxers I've met personally so far, they're quite nice people. They're quite genuinely nice people. But as soon as you put a camera in their face or something like that, or a microphone or whatnot, then the theatrics come out, and so is the being at press conferences and stuff like that. So what they say, they don't really mean. They're just saying it and trying to create a reaction and stuff like that.
Okay, so it's kind of these larger-than-life persona type things?
Yeah, like a classic example is the brown butterbean. You see him like with a lot of videos on Facebook, YouTube and whatnot, and he's quite an arsehole, but I've met him like a couple of times, and he's like the nicest guy you could ever meet. And like a lot of people hate him as well, so, but yeah, he's quite a nice guy.
So the idea of kind of theatrics and persona, that's all a part of professional boxing, yeah?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people say there's boxing is broke up into many sorts of ways. There's the boxing in the ring, there's the theatrics before and after, and there's the dodgy professional side, but that I'm not really involved with.
So we're going to talk about a wee bit about how you came into judging, but I'm just wanting to follow that line of thought. Like, when you're ringside and you are judging, what are you looking for? And, like, I mean, if somebody throws a punch that you think, oh, that's dodgy, I mean, can you mark people down on that?
Well, there's what we're supposed to do. There's the three rules that we're supposed to abide by. It's aggression. So that could be from, like, just going, doing a punching flurry or always stepping forward and stuff like that. There's the defensive fighters that, kind of like Floyd Mayweather, which a lot of people think, oh, he's a runner and stuff like that. He's a counterpuncher. A counterpuncher always looks for those opportunities and just keeps on moving his head all around. And he can get marked up, get good marks for that. And then there's, like, the amount of punches output and stuff like that. Those are like the general key three. Also, like, there's a lot of other things that me personally, I always go for my gut feeling if I don't know, because there has been situations where I was like, oh crap, this is being really close round. And I have a strong rule that I don't do 10-10 rounds, which is like the maximum a boxer per round can get. I don't mind 9-9 rounds when there's a point deducted or there's been double knocked down or something like that. But I don't like 10-10 rounds. It's my personal rule never to do that. So I always go for a gut feeling. If I can't call it, then I feel this boxer has done probably just a slightly better than the other boxer or something like that. So yeah, that's how I kind of judge a boxing ring, yeah.
So how do you learn to judge?
Well, how I got into it is actually through BoxRec. And as you know, the BoxRec is the what they call the Bible of boxing. It has all the boxers' details, all the pro boxers' details, and their rankings at the actually very fair rankings as well. I'm the editor of that. I'm the New Zealand editor, which was ridiculously hard to get in as become the editor, but I'm happy being the editor and I get a lot of respect for that. And my name goes everywhere from it. And I got my contacts through BoxRec to have a chat with Pat Leonard, who's the, I think he's the president, I'm not entirely sure, but he's definitely the Auckland representative of the NZPBA. And how they do things is they get you to do a shadow fight, shadow judge, which is you come and watch an event for judge your own, like do your little own scorecards, they'll be unofficial. And he marks you off with all the other judges and how he personally feels. And you have to do that 3 times. And if you do well, which is a lot of people don't, then you become a judge. Pat said that I've got extraordinarily talented calling at making right calls, and he hasn't actually seen that with anyone before, especially with my age. So yeah. And so yeah, as for like learning, that's how the training goes, and see if you can do well, and then he'll probably have a one-on-one chat with you if you don't do well. But I really just, I've been watching boxing since I was 8, because that was the David Tua versus Lennox Lewis fight. I just got hooked into it since then, and I learned from that. And I kind of, you know, picked it up a few things, so it was natural instinct.
So kind of natural instinct and kind of gut reaction to what's happening in front of you?
Yeah, that's the really how I got into it. But the problem with judges like these days are aging judges. Majority of them are 50, 60, 70, even 80-year-olds that are doing the judging.
So when you're looking at potential new judges, what are the skills that are needed to be a judge?
You need to be very focused and have a good eye. And like you have to be quite disciplined as well, because like you go to these events and they're like extraordinary events and stuff like that. You're not allowed to drink alcohol. It's like Yeah, it's my big rule. It's even the president's big rule. Don't drink, don't do any drugs, obviously, while you're calling, because that could affect you. Like, for example, I watched the Mayweather versus Pacquiao fight, and I was, it was my day off. I was watching, and I wasn't... I did my own little scoring, but I was having a good time while scoring and giving my opinion and stuff like that. After watching the fight, I thought, oh, Pacquiao, he should have won. But then after the next day, I rewatched it, and I was like, maybe it's a little bit of a draw. But there was such a close fight, I just needed to watch it again, and Mayweather came up by one round, in my opinion.
That idea of watching something a second time and getting a second chance to judge it. Have you done judging where you've thought, the next day, oh, actually, I made the wrong decision?
Never had that from a live event. Of course, Mayweather was through TV, so you can't... It's very different, because from watching it live, you can see things that the cameras can't see. The cameras might go from different angle to different angles, but it's nothing like what you can actually see right there. And you can actually probably almost feel the punches of how hard they're doing by this, how loud it is and stuff like that. And that is actually a big key to judging as well, because like you need to feel it. Like, well, not feel it, but you need to actually feel the moment and stuff like that.
So what is that like, being on ringside and being in front of a fight?
Well, there's been a couple of moments where I wish I had an umbrella because I'll tell you about this event a couple of weeks ago. These two women were going really at it, and one of them had a really blood nose, and it was every punch, there's like this blood went everywhere. And well, I just wished I had, it was all across my table, and I had my laptop with me for box rec reasons, and it's like, had to keep on making the dodges for my laptop so I didn't have blood all over it, so yeah. But I love being at ringside, it's a big thrilling thing, yeah.
Have you ever been the target of, the audience reacting badly to a judgment?
Not yet, but... This is very confident for me to say this, but I've never made a bad judgment when I was at a live event. Even when, from a split decision, I've only had one split decision that went the other way, I still think that my call was the right call compared to the other calls. However, that doesn't make their calls less valid. It's just I feel my call was the right one.
Are boxers allowed to interact with the judges?
Oh, yeah. But there's no bribes, obviously. But everyone knows everyone. It's very close. It's kind of like the gay community in a way. Everyone knows everyone, and you know, it's word by ear. Everyone has at least met everyone once. So yeah.
So are there many gay people in boxing in New Zealand?
Not as far as I'm aware of. I haven't actually met one yet. As far as I'm aware of in the boxing community, I'm the first gay one. I could be wrong. I could be the first gay one at this generation. But as far as I'm aware of, I haven't met a gay boxer.
Is that something you would like to see more of, more gay people in boxing?
I don't know. I never really put a thought to it, but it'd be quite interesting to having a gay boxer. It reminds me of this movie, actually, called The Beautiful Boxer, which is a transgender MTF, which is not actually boxing. It's actually, I think it's Muay Thai or kickboxing. Oh, no, it's Muay Thai, and Thai boxing. Thai kickboxing, one of the three, four. It was about a transgender MTF doing and had makeup on and everything, and great movie, so yeah. But yeah, I never even thought about it.
Are you aware of boxing being held in, say, like the Out Games, or I mean, is it part of those kind of larger rainbow competitions?
I don't know. Is that the Out Games?
I'm not sure.
It would be good to have that at the Out Games, because that way, if the Out Games come back to New Zealand, I could actually be a part of it, because I've always wanted to be a part of the Out Games. And of course, the Out Game, each and every boxing from pro to corporate to amateur, they have to go through our sanctioning body, well, one of the two sanctioning bodies, which I encourage the. A little bit of advertisement here. I encourage the Out Games committee, if they ever come to back to New Zealand, use the NZPBA as your sanctioning body for boxing. But yeah, I'd like to be a part of the Out Games for as a judge for boxing and stuff like that. So yeah.
You mentioned right at the start that you're the youngest boxing judge in the world and also New Zealand's first gay boxing judge. Do you want to be seen as either of those two things, if you know, in terms of people putting labels on you? Is that something that you want to be seen as?
Well, at the moment, it's quite exciting having those labels. I think at the moment, like when you're doing something new, it's good to have labels. It's like, wow, really? Thanks. Of course, these labels won't last for long, or maybe the first gay one, they'll last forever, but the youngest one currently, that won't last for long, because there's always going to be someone coming along to be younger. But I don't know, labels are exciting sometimes, in my opinion.
What would be your dream fight?
Well, I've had like the idea of like David Tua versus Mike Tyson. That's one good one. I had a list of, I actually did have a list, but that was like the one that stuck to me. Also, like one day when Joseph Parker gets much bigger, I want him to fight Klitschko if Klitschko doesn't retire, but he would be a good match for Klitschko. I can't say Floyd versus Pacquiao anymore, because that's just happened, and not a lot of people got disappointed from that because they wanted something more exciting. But you know, it's one defensive fighter versus aggressive fighter, that was bound to happen. For any other dream fights, a lot of people say Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali. Of course, it will never happen because big generation gap. But yeah, I think that's about my main dream fights. Of course, Joseph Parker, Carly Meehan, David Tua, when they were both in their primes, not now because they're old, which is harsh to say, but true. I think that's about it.
Do you kind of think it's like a bit of a drug, like a bit of an addiction in terms of the, you know, the prestige and the kind of the glamour?
Well, it's fame in a way. It's another form of fame and stuff like that. So, me personally, I wouldn't like to get hit in the face multiple times, like once every 3 months or something like that. But you know, it's just, to them, they're probably, it is a drug to them, and it's a profession, their career. So yeah, they probably enjoy it, and yeah, it is their addiction.
And in terms of judging, I mean, is that a professional thing that you're doing, or is it, I mean, are you getting paid for it?
I am getting paid for it, but that's at, I'm still at the lower end of my career, so I'm not getting a lot. So at the moment, it's at hobby stage, but I kind of have myself a 5-year plan, like, of course, I'll start here in New Zealand, and after getting 30 pro fights on my belt, I would to eventually make my way to Australia and get myself a judging license there, and then probably go from there to the UK, get my judging license with the British Boxing Commission, I think it's called, and then eventually maybe get a judging license in the states, one of the states, because like each state has their own law and whatnot. Most likely probably in New York, because there it's either New York, Las Vegas, which is Nevada, or California. But yeah, but I guess my dream job after all that will probably be like a supervisor for like the WBA or something like that.
And you're down in Wellington this weekend to judge
The WIBA Women's Super Bantamweight Championship, which I'm here to see. Actually, New Zealander is actually part of that. But if she wins, she'll be the second woman from New Zealand to win a world title. And I think it's the third New Zealand-born world champion, because the first one was in the 1920s. The second one was 2006, which was the first woman. Also, the first woman to be world champion with the IBF, which is actually, not a lot of people know that, but it's actually a massive deal.
Is there any difference between a male and a female fight?
Yes, there is a big difference. The women fights are very underrated. They don't get a lot of media and stuff like that, and I think if I had a goal in boxing is to make more women fights and make it more prestigious and make people want to see women fighting. Like, I gave the idea to like the Super 8 that there should be a Super 8 women's tournament, and they said that they would think about if there was the demand for it, but of course that means no. So yeah. And also, like, there's another idea was my other idea of trying to, if there was another aim, is probably bring like amateur boxing back into high schools, because you don't see that anymore, and it's a shame really, because boxing is a more of a when you're at that age in high school, it's about discipline and stuff like that. So yeah.
And in terms of judging, when it comes to either a male fight or a female fight, are you seeing it in exactly the same way, or are there differences?
Oh no, I see it exactly the same way. The BoxRec website, they see it differently though. The women's, they get, since there's not a lot of women's boxers compared to the male boxers, it's easier to rank higher, to get rankings quite quickly in the women's boxing. But you can see things changing, like there's more women fights that I'm trying to like put my foot in the door saying, hey, put more women fights, get them more credibility and stuff like that. You know, it's slightly changing because there's women fights happening, and if there are women fights like happening, becoming more equality with women fights, it's probably going to eventually be other stuff, like maybe there is be gay boxing at like the Out Games and stuff like that. So yeah, you can see a slight change happening, and it's always going to be such a male dominant, very masculine, testosterone type sport, but you can see that there will be a slight change.
But it's interesting, from what you've been saying, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily kind of exclusionary. You're not the people in the sport aren't excluding other people. It's more that people aren't kind of coming to the sport.
Yeah, it's personal interests. Like, you probably say it's a hobby and people are making something from this hobby. But yeah, ultimately it's just a interest, and if people get into it, they get into it.
You mentioned right at the very start that you're also getting married. Yes. In the next little while. Can you tell me about that? Are you happy to talk about that?
Yes, I'm getting married to someone who's actually transgender, which a lot of people are like, confused with that, because like they see me as a gay male getting married to someone who's transgender that's female to male, and people are like, wait, you're bi? It's like, no. I'm gay, I'm happily gay, and I announce myself as gay. I just don't mind the body parts, you know? Like, I am attracted to males. I don't care about their sex parts or anything like that, so yeah. But, yeah, I'm getting married on the 19th of June. Just trying to remember. I've already finished planning everything, so I'm quite excited about that.
And why is marriage important?
Why is marriage important? I don't know, this makes, it's kind of like a new milestone for myself, and like with the whole gay marriage and stuff like that, it was a lot of, I've spoken like to a lot of people, gay people, straight people and stuff like that. A lot of people don't like the idea of marriage just in general because they think it's just a piece of paper. Even gay people think, well, this, what's the point of getting gay marriage, because like there's other important things to talk about and stuff like that. And my reaction to them is like, oh, gay marriage is a step to those important things. If you don't think gay marriage is important, then take gay marriage as the next step to take that step to important things. I think, like, to my personal opinion, gay marriage is not a problem for me anymore. Like, we've got it now, so I think it's important that we had it, but now we've got it. I think the next important thing is looking into the whole transgender stuff. Like, it's ridiculously hard to get transgender surgery here, especially funded by the Public Health Board, because the health insurance in New Zealand sees transgender surgery as cosmetic, which I'm like, hey. So which I feel like it's kind of like a slap in the face to them. In fact, I know this from my partner, in California, they passed this law earlier this year, late last year, where medical insurance, health insurance, they cannot discriminate against the transgender community when it comes to surgeries, from top surgery to bottom surgery, all the surgeries, and hormone treatment and psychology and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, if California, which is land of United States, who some people think they're not the land of the free, which they proclaim they are, can do it, then why can't we do that? It's quite a... I think it's a good idea that we could probably pass that on to the government or something like that. So, yeah.
And the choice between having a civil union and a marriage, was that ever kind of talked about?
No, it's always been marriage. It wasn't even a question. Mainly because civil unions in New Zealand isn't recognised internationally. Marriages are recognised internationally. Civil unions aren't recognised internationally. So if for some reason that my partner got in hospital and overseas, I brought a civil union, it's like, they'll be like, no. They'll be like, you can only be family if you want to meet your, see your partner or something like that. And I was like, I've got a civil union saying I'm the husband. And they'll be like, no, civil union is not recognised in this country.
Can you tell me a wee bit about how the wedding is going to go?
We're very non-traditional. It's quite a boring wedding. We're just doing it in the registry office, which is actually how my brother did it with his straight wedding. He did it in a registry office. In fact, it's the biggest laugh ever. He did it in shorts and a t-shirt, and I've been pushing for myself to be done in shorts and a t-shirt, and every time I suggested it, I'd get told off. So I was like, damn. Yeah.
How have you found the planning? Has it been quite stressful, or has it been really enjoyable?
No, it's quite natural for me. I'm good at planning stuff. For me, I have OCD about time and punctuality. So when you put that towards planning, planning comes quite natural to me. And of course, I hit a few barriers, but I just click to, let's do this instead. It's quite easy. It's actually quite cheaper as well. So never really a problem when it comes to events planning and wedding planning and stuff like that.
Well, congratulations. I hope the day goes really well, and yeah, it's really fantastic news.
Thanks very much.